So we are holding on your Dalet Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. The Mishnah, yeah. We're going to be talking about Dinim of Tumah V'Tahara from here till the end of the Perek. So let's have a review of some basic concepts in Tumah V'Tahara that we're going to be dealing with. First of all, so you have like this. There's Oves HaTumah and there's Vlodos Tumah. Oves means fathers and Vlodos means children. The basic difference, most Oves Tumah are the actual source of Tumah themselves. For example, a Zov and the other ones like him, a Zova, etc., are Oves HaTumah. Sheretz is an Avatumah, a Nevela is an Avatumah, etc. And then you have a Mess, which is an Avi Avos HaTumah. It's a father of fathers of Tumah. And I'll explain in a second in what way a Mess is different than other types. The basic idea is, though, that Oves Tumah all have this in common. They're able to be Metame people, and they're able to be Metame Kalim, as well as food and drinks. On the other hand, then you have Vlodos Tumah, beginning from Rishon and going down. So Eli, you've mentioned before, for example, that you find it a little confusing. Rishon sounds like it should mean the first one, but really there are ones above it, Avi, Avos, and Av. The difference that you can think of it the same way is, for example, you know, we have the Rishonim in Jewish history, right? They're not the first generation of Tumah Chachamim. They're just earlier relative to us. So the same way Rishon is a higher degree of Tumah relative to the lower ones, but it still is, it's not the first one in the chain. I'm saying like this, you have Tanoim, Amiroim, Goinim, etc. And then you come to Rishonim. So the same way, you know, that may help you realize the same thing. You know, there can be others, and then only after them do you have Rishon. And so the difference is that Rishon and down, we call them, we lump them together. Not tomorrow night.
It's by Levi.
Yeah.
Believe tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night by Levi.
Tomorrow night by Levi.
Because they're not. Right now we're learning. Okay. Right now we're learning over here, okay? You want to ask them? Yeah. Okay.
Who's by the Empire, do you know?
Go find out, you know? Where were we? Okay, Vlodos HaTumah. Vlodos HaTumah have this in common. They can't, on a Daraisa level, be Metame people or Kalim. Only foods and drinks. Midrabanan, there are certain, to a certain extent they can, as we're going to learn in the Gemara. But that's the basic difference between an Av and a Vlad, is an Av usually is an actual source of Tumah, but not necessarily. As we'll talk in a second in connection with a Mess. But more to the point, an Av can be Metame people and Kalim, a Vlad cannot. What's the difference? So why is a Mess and a via voice a Tumah? So what it is you can have certain cases when something touches a Mess, or when something becomes Tame from a Mess, then that thing itself becomes an Av or even an Avi Avos HaTumah. So you can have that, we're going to learn in the Gemara, but first of all, if you have, if a person touches a Mess, or a person became Tame from a Mess, they're still an Av HaTumah and are able to be Metame Kalim. But also there can be even more than that. Those Mishnayos at the beginning of Olos that discuss, now we're going to learn in the Gemara over here, we're going to learn on Amud Beis, a concept called Cherev Harehu Kecholol. Since when it comes to Tumas Mes, the Pasuk mentions an example where they have a person is Tomei, Bachalal Cherev, by a person who was killed by the sword. Now, it doesn't matter how a person was killed, dead is dead. So therefore we learn from those words that there's a special din that Kalim, any Kalim, that certain Kalim can become themselves an Avi Avos HaTumah by becoming Tomei from a Mess. So the result is, you actually end up, the Mishnayos and all this describe, you can actually have a case where Kalim touch a Mess and a person touches those Kalim, and then a person, that person touches other Kalim, and those Kalim themselves are still Avos HaTumah, and only from there do you start going down to Rishon and so forth. That's the concept of Cherev Harehu Kecholol. You have a three-way Machlokas Rishonim. What is the situation where that applies? Rashi and most of the Rishonim learn that applies only to metal kalim. It's a unique din that applies to metal kalim, that Cherev Harehu Kecholol, that they were considered an avatrum, that they're considered avi avos atroma like the Mess. The Rambam holds that it applies more generally, not just to metal kalim, but all kalim except for clay cheres. Klei Cheres uniquely can never be an Av HaTumah. Klei Cheres can only be a Rishon, can only be a Rishon HaTumah.
Which can't fix it.
Because not, Well, because you can't tovel it. Because you can't tovel it, therefore it has a different din than other kind of kelim. And then you have an opinion from the Gaonim. You also have a Zerisha named Rabbi Yitzchak Misiponti. He wrote a pirush on San Seder Zroim and Seder Taurus, which have no Gemara, and he's quoted a lot by the Rishonim when they deal with sugyas from those Masechtas, from those Sedarim. He brings two opinions on it. Two possibilities. One, like the Rambam, that this concept of Chereb Hareu Kecholo applies to all Kelim, not just metal ones. And another one, which he also brings from the Gaonim, that it means if specifically a Keli that was used to kill a person has the din of Chereb Hareu Kecholo. So for example, we're going to talk about in the Gemara, well, it can mean a knife, but also, for example, we're going to talk about on Omid Beis, for example, a lamp. So you can have, let's say somebody banged the lamp into somebody's head or whatever and killed them. So those are certain basic things that we're going to start with, and then as we go on, another important point that we're going to be talking a lot in the next few blot is the dinim involving tumas mashkin. Now we have like this: we're going to learn in the Gemara first of all. We're going to actually learn as we go through different opinions what the din is as far as liquids. Is it that, for example, can liquids themselves become tamei? We know they can be machshir food to be makabel truma, but can they themselves, at least on a daraisa level, become tamei? If they can they be matamei other liquids, midaraisa? And then we're going to have different possibilities of what happens derabbanan. There are cases derabbanan involving liquids where actually what happens is, usually we think of truma usually goes downward. You have a rishon become makes a sheni and so forth, but midrabbanan, as we're going to get into, we've learned this concept we've learned before in Shabbos in particular, that in brachas actually, that midrabbanan liquids can make some, even if a liquid itself is a sheni, it can make something that it touches a rishon, so it goes up rather than down, as we'll see in the Gemara, a reason behind that and the application of that. So that's another point. Another point we have to realize as we go through these sugyas is when it comes to cholin, we go only as far as shein. So when it comes to cholin food, you have, let's say, for example, again, you have something that touched a mess, depending whether it's a keli, depending whatever, it'll be an avia voice or an avatoma. Eventually, that keli or that person or whatever touches food. They make it a rishon l'tumah. That food touches other food, becomes a sheni. When it's cholin, that's as far as you go. When it comes to truma, you have an additional thing that truma can become a shlishi l'truma. And when you have kodshim, you go even further and you can go as far as revi l'truma. That's another point. Another point actually that we're going to get into in the Mishnah and the Gemara over here is the din of a tvul yoyim. So tvul yoyim, somebody who was tamei from any source of truma and toveled, but they haven't yet had head of shemesh, they are a lesser degree of tumah. But if they touch, so if they touch chulin, nothing happens to it. But if they touch truma or kodshim, then no good. They make it what's called posel. Now posel rather than tamei means that it is tamei, means it's also to eat it, but it's not able to be metame other food. In general, the lowest level from each one is called posel. So a shlishi, la truma, of truma is called posel rather than tame. You're not allowed to eat it, but it can't make other truma, tame, therefore we call it only posel. The same thing, revi with kodshim is called posel for the same reason. A tvul yoim, if they touch truma or if they touch kodshim, they will make it posel. They will make it the lowest level of truma that applies to that type of thing. So, in other words, so if you ask, is the tevul yoyim a sheni or is he a shlishi? The answer is it depends whether he touches truma or kodshim. If he touches relative to truma, he's a sheni. Relative to kodshim, he's a shlishi. We're holding your dalet on an aleph. You can ask.
What does all of this have to do with psachim?
What does all this have to do with psachim? Well, we're going to start the Mishnah on the surface of it is going to start with a different din. Although the Rambam explains in Pidush HaMishnayis, there is a slight connection to the previous Mishnah because the previous Mishnah we talked about the two loaves of chametz from a korban toda that became posel and we use them as a signal to tell everybody when it's time to eat and when it's time to be toila and when it's time to burn chametz. That was in yesterday's Gemara on Daf Yud Gimel. And now we're also going to be talking about burning kodshim. However, the main thing is that we're going to continue in the Mishnah and derive from this a din as far as burning chametz. Remember, you can have truma as chametz as well, and you have to burn it before Pesach. So what we're going to talk about dinim that apply when it comes to burning it. That's the connection with Masechet Pesachim.
I don't think there's any Gemara doesn't have anything about Truma. Every Gemara has
something. Every Gemara has something about Truma, I guess, pretty much. So the Gemara starts off. So the Mishnah starts with Chanina Sgan HaKohenim, and for that reason, this whole sugya that we're going to learn over the next week is known as the sugya of Rab Chanina Sgan HaKohenim, after the first words of that Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Rab Chanina Sgan HaKohenim Omer, Mi Meim Shal Kohenim, throughout all the time of the Kohenim, but actually, before we get into that, I wanted to point out an interesting thing. Well, Sgan HaKohenim, Sgan means the deputy, like the second in command. HaKohenim, in other words, you have there was the Kohen Gadol, and you have the Sgan, the one who's second in command to the Kohen Gadol. In general, when the Kohen Gadol goes anywhere, the Sgan accompanies him out of respect. You should always have an important person like the Kohen Gadol, should have somebody else lesser than him accompanying him. You have, for example, it mentions in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, if the Kohen Gadol becomes an Ovel, then the Sgan stands there next to him when everybody comes to be Menachem Ovel, like to sort of make a separation between him and the rest of the people. If the Kohen Gadol becomes Posel or Tomei or what have you, then the Sgan takes over, especially Yom Kippur. I saw a vote, actually, why we call him Reb Chanina Sgan HaKohenim in the plural. Why not Reb Chanina Sgan HaKohen? They say this Reb Chanina Sgan HaKohenim lived towards the end of the second Beis Hamikdash. He may have even lived through the Churban. In his times, we know many of the Kohenim Gdolim were not so good. They used to buy the Kohen Gdola for money, and they wouldn't live out the year. They'd pass away on Yom Kippur. So therefore, he wound up being a Sgan to many different Kohenim. So therefore, we call him Reb Chanina Sgan HaKohenim. Yeah. So he says, Mimeim shel Kohenim, throughout all the time of the Kohenim, as long as the Beis Hamikdash was standing, Loi nimne'u milistrei pesach boser shenitma bevlada tuma, they did not avoid burning meat of kodshim that became tomei with a vlada tuma. Remember, a vlad means rishon or down. We'll see in the Gemara what level we're talking about. So if you have meat that became tomei from a vlada tuma, so let's say, for example, by vlad, let's say we mean a rishon latuma. So meat of kodshim that touches it becomes a sheni latuma. It's tomei, you have to burn it. So therefore, so they had meat that became tomei, that became a sheni. Im habosar shenitma ba'ava tumah, they would burn it. They had no problem burning that together with meat of kodshim that became tomei with a direct ava tumah. Let's say, for example, it became tomei from a sheretz or a zov or whatever that touched it. Afal pishma. Now that meat is a rishon l'tumah. Afal pishma is sifin tumah al tumah. So even though that means that they're adding tumah to the original tumah, nevertheless, that's not a problem because they're burning all of it anyway, and therefore the fact that you're creating more tumah on it doesn't matter. Now, the Gemara is going to ask, if we're talking about, now what's the situation over here? The first batch of meat we're talking about is a sheni l'tumah. The second batch you're telling me is a rishon l'tumah. So what's the problem? If a rishon touches food, it becomes a sheni. So before it was a sheni, now it's a sheni. What's the problem? So we'll see in the Gemara what Reb Chanina Sgan HaKohenim means. Then Rabbi Akiva added another detail. Now, he's not arguing with Reb Chanina. He's giving another scenario. Mimeim shel Kohenim, throughout all the time of the Kohenim, loy nimne'u milahad lekas Hashem en shenifsal b'tzvur yoyim. They never avoided lighting and burning oil of Truma, this is what we're talking about, that became possible by a Tzvul Yoyim. Again, we just said before that if a Tzvul Yoyim touches Truma, he makes it a Shlishi, and we call it possible because it can't be Matame any other Truma. So now you have this oil of Truma became a Shlishi of the Truma. Kohenim are not allowed to eat it. However, the din is, you're not allowed to eat Truma that became Tome or possible, but the Kohenim are allowed to burn it and have Hanah from it while they're burning it. So they could use that oil in a lamp, and they had no problem using it in a lamp. The Ner Shenitma, the Pnei Mess, in a lamp that became Tomei from a mess, which on the face of it, we mean that the lamp is a Rishon L'Truma. And again, so now you're putting oil that's a Shlishi L'Truma into a lamp that's a Rishon L'Truma. Afal Pishim, Sif and Truma, Al Truma, so even though you're adding an extra degree of Truma, now it's becoming a Sheni L'Truma, no problem again, because you're burning it anyway.
And basically,
no, this is what we're talking about anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. Anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, wherever the Kohenim received Truma, if that Truma becomes a Shlishi L'Truma by its volume touching it, then they have to burn it. They're allowed to have Hanah while they're burning it. So Rabbi Akiva is saying the Kohenim never had a problem burning it in a lamp that's a Rishon L'Truma. We're going to see in the Gemara. Now in the Gemara, we're going to bring in the Secher of Harei Kacholah business that we just mentioned before and explain that the lamp is not actually a Rishon L'Truma. It's higher than that. So we're going to get into that in the Gemara. But first, on the simple level of the Mishnah, which is how Rashi explains it over here, then Rabbi Akiva is saying that they took oil, which was a Shlishi L'Truma, put in a lamp, which is a Rishon L'Truma, which now makes the oil a Sheni L'Truma, no problem because you're burning it anyway. Afal Pishim, Sifin Truma, Al Truma, even though you're adding a degree of Truma to the degree that it already had. Now comes the relevance to Pesach. Amar Meir, midivreihem lamanu. Based on what they're saying, we can learn. We're going to see in the Gemara who's the they. There's two possibilities, actually. It may mean Rav Chanina, Sgan HaKohenim, and Rav Akiva, but it also may mean a completely different Mishnah, which we're going to refer to at the end of our Mishnah, where we have a Machlokas, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara is going to discuss eventually which one do we mean. So Rav Meir is saying, midivreihem, from what they, whoever the they is, are saying, Lamadnu, we can learn. That the same thing when it comes Erev Pesach and you have to burn the chametz. So if you have truma that's tahor and you have other truma that's tameh and all of them are chametz, no problem. You're allowed to burn them together, even though you have a mitzvah not to make truma tameh. But in this case, based on what they're saying, we see that you're allowed to do that. However, Rabbi Yossi says einahi amida. That's not a correct comparison. You can't compare, just because what we're saying about Kodshim or about Truma, you can't compare that to the case of Chometz Tomei with Chometz Tohar, as we'll see in the Gemara why Rabbi Yossi doesn't accept that equation. And he continues, in fact, Umoidim Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, in fact, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua argue in a different Mishnah, in Masechta Trumas, they argue about a case where you have, where you have, when it comes to burning Truma, even though they have a machlokas in certain other cases, which we'll deal with in the Gemara, what when it comes to burning truma, what the din is, when we burn it, when we don't. But even both of them agree, shasofin, zula atma v'zula atma, that in our case over here, you have truma, which is tahor, which is chometz, and which is tahor, and other truma, which is chometz, which is tamei, says Rabbi Yossi, both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua would agree that you have to shasofin, zula atma v'zula atma, that you have to burn each one separately. You cannot put them together because then you're going to be metame, the truma tahora, as you're burning it, and you can't do that. Alman nechlepu, what is the machloitis where Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua argue about? Alatloyav alatmeya. Suppose you have some truma which is complete, some truma which is tloya, it's suspended, you don't know whether it's tomei or tahor, and you have other truma which is definitely tomei. So that's when you have the machloitis, Rabbi Eliezer omer tisar of zula atzma v'zula atzma, that Rabbi Eliezer says you have to burn each one separately because the tloya might not be tamei, it might actually be tahor, and then if you burn it with the tmeya, then you're being metamei it, you can't do that. And Rabbi Yeshua omer shtein kachas, Rabbi Yeshua says you can burn them both together because you can't eat the truma tloya anyway, but says Rabbi Yossi, when it comes to tahora with tmeya, even Rabbi Yeshua is going to agree that you have to burn them separately. So therefore, you, Rav Meir, are telling us that you can burn them together on Erev Pesach. No, says Rabbi Yossi, nothing doing. That's neither right. Rabbi Eliezer nor Rabbi Yeshua say that you could do that.
Tluya means if you...
Tluya means suspended, right. Meaning you're not sure whether it became Tomei or whether it became Tomei or not.
So it doesn't have a chance of becoming tired.
No, and once no, because you can't dip food in a mikveh. Okay. So yeah. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Mechti. Now let's consider Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohenim's case. Now, usually when we say vlada tuma, unspecified, usually it means a rishon latuma. So if you have meat that touched a rishon latuma, what does it become? My havi, sheni, it becomes a sheni. Ki sorif le bahadi boser shenitma ba'ava tuma. And if you burn it together, if you put it together with meat and burn it together with meat that became tome by an ava tuma, now meat that touched an ava tuma becomes what? A rishon latuma. If you put a rishon and a sheni together, if you put a rishon together with other food, the other food becomes sheni. So what's the problem? My havi sheni, so it becomes a sheni. Sheni v'sheni hu. So before the original food was a sheni, now it's also a sheni. What's the problem? Why does Rav Chanina HaKohenim have to tell us, Sgan HaKohenim have to tell us that you would think there's a problem, but the Kohenim didn't have a problem with it. Before it was a sheni, now it's a sheni. So what's the problem? My moisiv le tumah al tumasi. How are you adding a degree of tumah to its tumah? How are you adding a degree of tumah to its tumah? It's the same tumah as it was before.
You're adding a rishon to sheni, and that's the question. What happens?
The question is, if we take the Mishnah at face value, you have one batch of meat that became tomei with a vlada tuma, meaning it touched a rishon and now it became a sheni. You're now saying that's a chiddush that you can burn it with other meat which is a rishon latuma. Now let's say if any meat touches a rishon latuma, what happens? It becomes a sheni. So you're telling me that you're putting together meat, which is a rishon, together with meat, which is already a sheni, and you're saying you're adding a degree of tumah to it. What do you mean you're adding a degree of tumah? What's it going to become? It's going to become a sheni. It's already a sheni. So what's the problem? How do you have you adding a degree of tumah on top of what there was? Before it was a sheni, and now when it touches the rishon, it's becoming a sheni. It's already a sheni. Amar of Yehuda, hocha bevlad vlad askinan. So Rav Yehuda says, actually, when Rav Yechanina uses the expression vlad hatumah, he means vlad hatumah. He means a sheni hatumah. So the original batch of meat that we're talking about touched a sheni and became a shlishi, dehavale shlishi. So it became a shlishi. So now when you put it together with the rishon, it's going to become a sheni. Because a rishon touches food, it becomes a sheni. So you're moving it up one level. You're going from shlishi to sheni. And that's the chiddush. That's the chiddush. The kasabar shlishi mutar la'asos yesheni. Reb Chanina Sgan HaKohenim is telling us that even though the food was already a shlishi, you're allowed to make it a sheni. You're allowed to put it together with food, which is a rishon, which is now making it a stronger tumah. It's now becoming a sheni of the tumah because you're burning it anyway.
That's me, Doraisa.
Well, that's what we're talking about. On it. So far, we're talking on a Doraisa level. Even though it makes it a sheni on a Doraisa level, which now the Gemara is going to ask that, does it in fact make it a sheni on a daraisa level? That's the next point we're going to discuss now. But on the face of it, that's what we're saying, that it makes it a sheni on a daraisa level, and nevertheless, it's not a problem because it's anyway tummy. But now comes the question, v'ho ein oichel metame oichel. On a daraisa level, food is not metame food. On a daraisa level, food can be metame liquids, and liquids can be metame food, but not midaraisa. You can't have from min to minoi. In other words, now, Rashi said, before we get to Rashi, actually, like this. In other words, on a daraisa level, once we have, let's say, forgetting for a second about the special case involving a mess where we have a via vois atroma. Let's talk about a regular case, let's say, where food becomes tame from a sheretz or from a zav or any other avatroma. The normal thing, daraisa, you have like this. If food touches the sheretz, then it becomes a rishon. But if that food touches other food, on a daraisa level, nothing happens to that other food. Only if that food touches a liquid, one of the Shiva Mashkim, then it makes it a sheni. And now if that liquid touches food of truma, then it makes it a shlishi and so forth. You have to go back and forth. Food, drink. There's no such thing as food being matame food on daraisa level. So therefore, so vaha ein ochel matame ochel. Food is not matame
drink.
Food. What?
Drinks, what about drink? Mashkim, you
know? Any of the Shiva Mashkim, any of the seven things that are considered liquids in halacha. Wine.
No, but if they contaminate, only the seven can, if they can, a liquid amongst the seven touches another liquid,
We're going to get to the point about liquids and liquids later. Right now, we're dealing with food. So, v'ha ein oichel metame oichel. Food cannot be metame other food. Here in our Mishnah, we're talking about meat, which is a solid, which is food. D'tanya, as we learn in a brisa, yochol yehi oichol metame oichol. You would think that food could be metame other food. No, tamad laima v'chi yutan maim alzera v'nafal minivlasim olav. The pasuk says, if water or any of the shiva mashkim falls on food, and then a nevela of what of an animal falls on it, tame hu. It says it is tame. So the word hu is a miut, meaning hu tame vein oisek hayotzeve tame. Only the food that was touched by the nevela itself can become tame, but other food that it touches is not going to become tame. The in oisek hayotzeve tame. So now we have a few different opinions about that. Hanicha la'abaya. Now that's the brisa. Then we have a few opinions of Amiroyan within that brisa. How to understand that brisa? Hanicha la'abaya. It works out well according to Abaya. The Amar loshanu el b'chulin. Abaya says that whole limud from the pasuk is only talking about chulin. That food that touches other food is not metame yet on a daraisa level with chulin. But Abaya says that limud does not apply to truma or kodshim. So therefore, according to him, yes, you could have meat of kodshim that touched other meat therefore meat of kodshim that became a shlishi by touching other meat of kodshim.
It goes less.
It goes still. Rishon begets sheni, and sheni begets shlishi. Fine, but you still have. It can go from food to food. It wouldn't have to be like the cholin where you have to go from food to drink, from drink to food. Rashi says we learn that later on in a couple of days, we're going to be discussing a series of psukim in Chagai from Treyaser, where he asks the Kohenim some questions in halachas of Tumah Vatara, and we actually have a machlokas in the Gemara whether the Kohenim passed the test or not. But the pasuk that Chagai mentions over there, he uses an expression that something tumah touches lechem, nozid, yayin, and shemen, bread, a stew, wine, and oil. And the Gemara explains this means it's a progression. It touches one, then that one touches the next one, etc. And there we're talking about kodshim. So Rashi says, from there we see that, according to Abaya, that by kodshim you can have food can touch food, or drink can touch drink, and it becomes tomei on a daraisa level. Because we're saying, for example, bread and stew, which are both food. Tosfos actually disagrees with that, because Tosfos has a bit of a different way of learning the pasuk. When we get into that sugya, it's going to be a little bit complicated. We have a couple of different opinions of Amiroyim, and then we have opinions of the Rishonim, how to understand those opinions of Amiroyim, all in turn how to explain those psukim in Chagai. Anyway, so Tosfos just says that, Tosfos says that, no, we learn it, the different pasuk that we learn it from, according to Abaya, that Truma and Kodshim have different rules. Anyway, so according to Abaya, that's how it is. Cholin has one rule. Kodshim and Truma have a different rule. That by Cholin, one food, so food touches the sheretz, for example, and it touches other food, nothing happens. Only if it touches a liquid will it be metameit. On the other hand, by Truma or by Kodshim, you could have food that's a rishon touches other food and makes it a sheni, and then that sheni makes a shlishi, and so forth. So according to Abaya, it works out well. And also appointed of Adaba Ava in the name of Rava, Drama Loishanu Ela Chulin Utruma. He says that Chulin and Truma have one rule, Aval Bakodshim Oisekayotzvehen, but by Kodshim, food can touch food and make a tummy. So according to both of them, Shapir, then it works out well. We can understand what Rav Chanina Segana Koyanim is telling us, even though this is Kodshim we're dealing with. And on a Daraisa level, this food became a Shlishi. And now you're burning it together with other food that became a rishon. Nevertheless, there's no problem, even though when that rishon food touches it, it's going to make it a sheni on a daraisa level. It's food touching food. Nevertheless, it's not a problem because it's tamei and because you're burning it anyway. So according to Abaya and according to Adaba Abba, fine. El Ravina Mishmei the Rava, but then we have the opinion of Ravina in the name of Rava, the Omar, where he says nothing doing, no differences on a daraisa level between Cholin and Truma and Kodshim. Mikra Mole Dibra Kosov, the Pasuk tells us a complete statement that we said the Hu over there is a mute. Therefore, Loishna Kodshim, Loishna Cholin, Loishna Truma, Loishna Kodshim, Eina Osaka Yetzaboy, doesn't matter on a daraisa level, Cholin, Kodshim, Truma, food cannot be Matami food. My Kalamema, then what are you going to say? What's the problem? Burning shlishi food together with rishon food. On a daraisa level, it's not going to make it tamei, any more tamei, because it's food touching food. On a daraisa level, nothing happens. So the question is on Ravina, how would Ravina understand our mission? The answer is hochab mayaskin and di'ikam mashkin bahadi basar. The answer is we can be talking about that there's liquid together with the meat. You have liquid, let's say, on the surface of the meat. When the meat, the original meat, touched the avatruma, there was liquid on it. So therefore, the liquid became tummy with it. The liquid is also the liquid and the bread, and the meat. The liquid and the meat both became erishin latruma. When you come to burn the meat, you still have the liquid on it. Now that liquid is touching the other meat that you're burning with it, and it can be metame because liquids can be metame food. So there you go. That's the thing. Food to food not. That's what Ravina is telling us. But liquids to food, yes. And therefore, that's what you have. The liquid, let's say, for example, the blood or the water or whatever that was on the surface of the meat now touches the other meat. And that's the thing. So that is now making that other meat a sheni latruma, where before it was a shlishi. And Rav Chanina is telling us, no problem, because it's tamei and you're burning it anyway.
So he's taking the heat to mayim, only mayim is what...
Well, no, mayim is what machshel the kabel truma. But no, what it is... No. Okay. No, we were quoting... The point is that we were quoting the pasuk that said that when food becomes machshel the kabel truma, we said tome hu, meaning only the food itself that touched it can become tame. Now, food can be metame other things, but midaraisa, we're saying it can only be metame liquids, not other food. But now we're saying, though, that so there's liquid together with the meat. So then, therefore, the liquid is what's matame. The liquid is what's matame. The other meat,
not the food.
Right. Tosfos gets into a bit of discussion over here about the question: do we say that do we say that liquids can be metame other food, even if you have less than a revius of them? But pashtus, you don't necessarily have a revius of liquid on the surface of this meat over here, and you're still saying it can be metame the other meat. So Tosfos gets into a bit of discussion about the pros and cons of that. Maybe deraisa you need a revius, but the rabbanon you don't, although that doesn't really work because the Gemara is still trying to find it here on a deraisa level. Maybe there's a different. Tosfos finds other ways. Maybe that this meat could become tame without necessarily having to involve oichel matame oichel. Okay. Anyway. So the question is. So then, if you have liquid together with the meat, to come a tame machmas mashkin, then what happens is the other meat is becoming tame by virtue of the liquid that was on that became a rishon l'truma. The problem with that is ihochi hai imabosa shenitma ba'abatoma. Then why is Rav Chanina focusing on the meat that became tamei with the abatoma? According to Ravina, he should be focusing on the liquid. Imabosa umashkin mibarilei. At least he should be saying with meat and liquid, because that's the key thing. Without the liquid, you don't have a problem. Ella, no. Rather, we have to answer differently. Nehi de'en oichel metame oichel medaraisa. Granted, one food cannot be metame, another one daraisa. According to Ravina, with any kind of food, even kodshim, midrabbanon, mi'o metame, but midrabbanon, it can. So therefore, in other words, Rav Chanina, Sgan HaKohanim, is telling us, even though you're adding a degree of tuma, midrabbanon, it's still allowed. So that's only Dirabbanan, right. So in other words, according to Ravina, you're not adding anything Daraisa, only Dirabbanan. Still, you would think the Chachamim would have made a Gzeir on it. And Rav Chanina is telling us that they didn't. And therefore, you're allowed to burn them together. Okay. Then the Mishnah had continued. Then the Mishnah had continued. Hoisif Rav Akiva. Rav Akiva added another detail. That the Kohenim had no problem taking oil of Truma, which is a shlishi, and burning it in a lamp, which was Tomei B'Tmei Mes, which at this point we're assuming means that the lamp became a Rishon, the Truma, even though you're adding Truma to it. So let's figure. Mechti Shemen Shenifsa B'Tvulyoim Mayhavi, oil that became Tomei with a Tvulyoim, what is it? Shlishi. Necessarily, it's a shlishi B'Truma. If you burn it in a lamp which became tome by a tmei mes, the assumption, meaning in other words that we're talking about a person became tome mes and then touched this lamp, where therefore it now becomes a rishon l'truma, my hobby. So now what you're saying is that oil becomes sheni, because oil that's shlishi, that touches any food that touches a rishon lamp is going to become a sheni. Well then, my kamash malon. So what is Rabbi Akiva telling us? Shlishi mutar la'asos sheni. You're telling me that it means that you're allowed to make a shlishi into a sheni? Hainu hach. That's exactly the same thing as Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim said. So what is Rabbi Akiva adding? Now, Tosfos points out, the question is not according to, the question necessarily has to be according to Ravina. Because according to the other opinions, the point is that you even allowed the question is not according to Ravina. According to Ravina, that we said that food can never be metame food on the Raisa level, and therefore in Rav Chanina Sgan HaKohanim's case, we're only making it a sheni dirabbanon. So according to him, there's no question. Rav Akiva is adding the detail that not only you're allowed to make it a sheni dirabbanon, you're even allowed to make it a sheni daraisa. Because the lamp over here is a rishon daraisa, and the oil that touches it becomes a sheni daraisa. So according to Ravina, there's a big chiddush in what Rav Akiva is saying. But we're asking according to Rav Ada Ba'ava and according to Abaya, according to them, what is Rav Akiva adding? Before you had in Rav Chanina's case, the meat becomes a sheni l'truma when the rish on a daraisa level, when the first meat touches it. Because again, according to them, by kodshim, meat can be matami meat. Rabbi Akiva says so the shlishi is becoming a sheni. Here also the oil, which is shlishi, is becoming a sheni, and it's both daraisa. So what is Rabbi Akiva adding? Omer of Yehuda hocha b'ner shel matchas askinen. So Rabbi Yehuda says the answer is that here we're not talking about an earthenware lamp, as we would usually assume, which, as we said before, earthenware can never become an avatruma. Earthenware can only be a rishon l'truma. But here we're talking about a metal lamp. D'rachmona Omer. The pasuk says that if a person becomes tamei b'chalal cherev, by a person who was killed by the sword. Now again, like we said, there's no reason to specify a sword, because a person is dead is dead. A person is matame mes no matter how they died or no matter how they were killed. The point is we have a hekesh therefore between the cherev and the cholol. Cherev harehu kecholol, meaning that the din is the cherev has the same din as the cholol. Meaning, in other words, therefore, that it becomes an avatruma. Now, again, you have, we just said before, Rashi and most of the Rishonim hold that this applies only to metal kalim. The Rambam holds it applies to all kalim except earthenware. So according to him, the lamp could have been made from any other, according to the Rambam, the lamp could have, been made from anything else other than earthenware. It doesn't have to be metal.
Glass.
Well, glass maybe. Or glass actually is might be a little bit like earthenware in that regard. But okay, let's say for example, let's say hypothetically you can make it out of plastic or wood or something, whatever. So according to the other Rishonim, it's only specifically metal. And then again, you have the third opinion of the Gaonim and of Yitzchak Misiponti that the second possibility that he says that we're talking Davka, that this lamp was actually used to kill somebody. Let's say somebody threw it at somebody's head and killed them with it. Anyway, v'habile avatruma. So therefore, this lamp is not a rishon l'truma. The lamp is actually an avatruma. When it touches this oil, it's going to make it a rishon l'truma, because sabah shlishi mutar la'asos rishon. So therefore, in other words, Rabbi Akiva is telling us, going beyond what Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohenim said, that you're making a shlishi into a sheni. He says you can make a shlishi into a rishon. So the question then becomes, what forces Rabbi Yehuda to say that the Mishnah is Davka, that Rabbi Akiva and the Mishnah is Davka talking about a metal lamp? Let Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora, explain on Mishnah that Rabbi Akiva is talking about an earthenware lamp, the usual kind of lamp, which is made out of earthenware, which is a Rishon L'Truma. And then you're asking my hoisif. So you're asking in that case, what is Rabbi Akiva adding? You still have a shlishi becoming a sheni. You could say what he's adding is the ilu hasam tomei v'tomei, because you could say in the case when you're dealing with the two kinds of meat that Rabbi Chanina is talking about, both of them, the shlishi and the sheni, are both tomei in the sense that they can be metame other food. Remember, a shlishi can create a reviv when it comes to kodesh. So therefore, even the shlishi l'truma of meat is still able to make, if it touches other meat, it's going to make it a reviv l'truma. So therefore, both of them are tomei, and Rav Chanina is saying, fine, since both of them are tomei anyway, so tomei that they can even be metame other things. Nevertheless, you're allowed to burn them together. Rabbi Akiva is adding the ilohach apostle the tomei. Here you're adding the oil of truma is only apostle. It's not tomei in the sense that it can't be metame other truma, right? If shlishi la truma touches other truma, nothing happens. Only by kodshim do you go as far as revi. So here you're saying, so Rabbi Akiva is giving us a chidush, that even though this oil of truma is only posel, it's not able to be metame others, nevertheless, you're allowed to make it tome. So we don't have to be talking about that it's going all the way, it's going 2 degrees of truma up, all the way to Rishon. It's going up to sheni, but it's going from posel to tome, whereas by kodshim, it's going from tome to tome. Now, Rashi stresses, you could ask, you have oil by kodshim as well, you have oil of menachos. But the difference is, if you have oil of menachos, it has to be burned like other kodshim that are tomei. You're not allowed to have hanah from it at the time. Unlike oil of truma, you're allowed to be lighting it on a lamp and having hanah from it. Oil of kodshim, if you had oil of menachos that became tomei, you're just burning it like you would any other kodshim that became posel and not having hanah from it. So necessarily, the oil we're talking about over here has to be oil of truma. And a shlishi by truma is only posel. Now, Tosfos does point out, on the face of it, though, if that shlishi shel truma were to touch kodshim, it could be metame them. So therefore, why don't we call it tome in that sense? It is able to be metame other things, because it is able to be metame kodshim that it touches. So Tosfos brings up a couple of possibilities. One of them is that maybe, since it was only touched by tvuyim, we are calling it a shlishi l'truma, but maybe it's not strong, maybe it's not a strong enough kind of shlishi to create a reviv kodesh. Only, in other words, if you had a regular kind of shlishi, if you had the regular case where food touched food, which touched food, and therefore it became a shlishi, then yes, that would be strong enough that if it now touches kodshim, it makes it a revi. Maybe the fact that the truma of shlishi came only through a tvoyoim, maybe that's a weaker kind of shlishi, says Tosfos. The other possibility is that maybe what we mean is just that within its own kind, it can't be metame any further. Yeah, if truma touches kodshim, it'll make him tome. But we're not focusing on that. Within truma itself, shlishi is as far as it goes. And therefore, we don't care about the fact that hypothetically it could be metame kodshim. So that's another way of looking at it. Anyway, whatever the case, maybe that's Maybe that is Rabbi Akiva's chiddush. Maybe we don't have to resort to saying that the lamp is made out of metal and cherub harei kacholo, and therefore that's a rishon l'truma, or that it's an avat truma rather, and it would make the oil a rishon. Maybe Rabbi Akiva's chiddush is that even though the truma is only posel, you're able to make it tomei, unlike Rabbi Chanina where it was tomei before and it's tomei now. But so both of them, again, you're going from Shlishi to Sheni. But by Kodshim, that means Tomei to Tomei. And by Truma, it means going from Posel to Tomei. So why is Rabbi Yehuda forced to say that the lamp of our Mishnah is an oil, is a metal lamp, is a metal lamp? The answer is Amar Rava Masnisin Kshisei. Because Rabbi Yehuda had a problem looking at the words of the Mishnah. He found that the Mishnah is difficult if you understand it to be talking about a regular earthenware lamp. My iri Tony Nershin Nikma Matemes. Why would Rabbi Akiva have to specify that the lamp became Tommy from a Tmemes? Nisni Shinikma Basheretz. If we're talking about that the lamp is a Rishon, it doesn't have to become Tommy from a mess Davka. It could become come Tommy from a Sheretz or any other kind of Avatruma. He could have just said Nershin Nikma Ba Avatruma or something. He didn't have to specify Shinikma Tmemes Davka. Ella. Where do we find the distinction between something that becomes tomei from a mess versus a sheretz? The only case you find where there's a distinction is where it's a metal keli, or according to the Rambam, any kind of non-earthenware keli. So there you have this distinction. There you have this distinction that you have that if it touches a mess, it becomes an avatoma, whereas if it touches a sheretz, it only becomes a rishonot toma. Since Rabbi Akiva specified that he's talking Nershin Nikman B'tmei Mes, that led Rabbi Yehuda to say, so we can't just be talking about that's a plain old earthenware one, which then would become a Rishon L'Truma, because then in that there's no difference between a mess or a sheretz or any other avatoma. It has to be that it's metal, where there we have that difference. And that's why Rabbi Akiva is mentioning Davka B'tmei Mes. Okay.
It's very interesting going from a shlishi.
That's the point. In other words, that's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. So Rabbi Akiva's chiddush is not just that you're able to go from posel to tomei, but that you're even able to go from posel 2 degrees higher of tuma, unlike Rabbi Chanina Sagana Koinim had said you can only go 1 degree higher. Yeah. Amar Rava, so Rava says in this connection, Shma Mina Kasava Rabbi Akiva, we can see from this whole discussion, since Rabbi Akiva is adding and saying that, and saying this case about the oil on the lamp, it must be that Rabbi Akiva holds Tumas Mashkin Matame Achedem Daraisa. This that liquids are able to be Matame other things is a Daraisa level. Now we're gonna have later on in our parak, we're gonna have opinions that say that liquids cannot be Matame food on a Daraisa level, only Dirabon. Now, liquids can be Makshu food, the Kabal Tumah. That's definitely Daraisa, nobody argues with that. That if liquid touches a food, then now that food is mukhshar lekabel tumah, it's susceptible to becoming tummy. But the idea that liquids themselves, if they're tummy, if one of the shiva mashkin becomes tummy, that it should be able to be a tummy food, that is not so simple whether it's daraisa or not. So we have to say, though, from our Mishnah, that Rabbi Akiva obviously holds that it is. The isakudaitach drabbanon, because if Rabbi Akiva held that concept exists only drabbanon, then Mechti, let's consider Hai Ner Maiko Mahanyo Lahai Shemen. In what way, on a Daraisa level, would the lamp be doing anything to the oil? Ila if Sule Gufe, if it's just to make the oil posel, to make it a shlichi, how posel akari, it's already a shlichi. So the fact that Rabbi Akiva is moistif, that he's adding that now the oil becomes a rishon l'truma, if we say that on a Daraisa level, oil or any other liquid that becomes tame cannot be matame other food. So what if it became a rishon l'truma? What good does that do? It can't. It's not able to be matame anything else. So therefore, it doesn't really matter that it went up. It went up 2 degrees of truma. In effect, it's still posel. In effect, it's still just as posel, only as it was before, because it can't do anything else. So therefore, it has to be that Rabbi Akiva holds that no, that oil or any other liquid that became tomei as a rishon or a sheni could be matame other foods on a daraisa level, and therefore that, yeah, now when you brought it up from shlishi to rishon, you're making it more possible for it to be matame where it wasn't before. Before it couldn't be matame anything because it's a shlishi. Now it could be matame because it's a rishon, and Rabbi Akiva is still saying it's allowed. However, the Gemara says, Mimai, who says that that's what Rabbi Akiva holds? Maybe in fact, Rabbi Akiva is saying just that it's able to be matame other things, but only drabbanon. You're assuming that Rabbi Akiva is telling us something that you're able to add a degree of tumor or 2 degrees of tumor for it on a daraisa level. But like we said on a Aleph, like we said according to Ravina, Rabbi Chanina Sgana Koyim is just saying you're bringing it up one level of tumor on a darabanan level, and that itself is a chiddush. Fine, maybe Rabbi Akiva is saying the fact that you can bring it up 2 degrees of tumor on a darabanan level is also a chiddush.
Awesome.
Yeah, the answer is that no. Because if we were talking about tumas drabonon, my area ba'ava tumah, then it wouldn't matter if the oil became tome from an ava tumah or not. Afila berushin resheni nami tchila habi. Even if the oil were to become tome from a rishin latuma or a sheni latuma, remember this is oil of truma, so it can become tome from a sheni. Tchila habi nami tchila habi. It would also become tchila. It would also become a rishin. Ditznat midrabonon. Ditznan, as we learn in a mishnah, kol apoisavos atruma. Anything which can passel truma, including Rashi says any of the things that we learned about in Masechta Shabbos about we have the Shmona also Dabra, you have the famous Yudches Dabra, the famous 18 Gzeiros that they made, of which about half of them are about dinim of truma v'tara. So we have different cases where something is passeling truma on a drabonim level. For example, a person who ate tomei food or drank tomei drinks is tomei midrabonon and is not allowed to eat truma. And if he touches it, he makes it passel. So any of those things, mitami mashkin liyas tchila, if he touches liquids, then drabonon, he makes them tchila, he makes them a rishon l'truma, chutz mitvuyoyim, with the exception of a tvuyoyim. So if a tvuyoyim touches liquids, then we say he makes them a shlishi, but any other liquids, any other case where liquids become tome, no matter what the source of tumah is, they always become a rishon. So even a sheni touched them, and usually a sheni should make a shlishi, but midrabonon, it brings them up back to a rishon. The reason why the Chachamim did that, Rashi explains, is because you have certain kinds of liquids that are always a rishon on a daraisa level. For example, there's 2 points in it. Number one, the Gemara elsewhere talks about that you have those liquids that come from a zov. For example, actually, we're going to talk about that soon. You have liquids that come from a zov, for example, with saliva and urine and a couple of other things that are actually an avatuma themselves. So therefore, liquids already have a certain chumra to them. Second of all, the fact is, unlike food, which needs to be mukshur the kabal tumah, food needs to become wet with one of the shiva mashkim in order to become tumah. Liquids, any of the shiva mashkim themselves are automatically susceptible to tumah. Therefore, the chachamim found it necessary to make a gzera that liquids will always be a rishon l'tumah, to be on the safe side, with the exception when they were touched by a tvul yoim, because since the concept of a tvul yoim is daraisa, the Chachamim did not find it necessary to strengthen that further. So they left it as is, that if a tvul yoim touches liquids of truma, then he makes him a shlishi. And if he touches liquids of kodshim, then he makes him a revi. But if we were to say that Rabbi Akiva holds, like Tanoim later on in our Perek, that liquids cannot be metame anything on the daraisa level, but drabonon they could, then the liquids we're talking about would always be a rishon l'truma, and it wouldn't matter what the level of truma of the lamp was. The fact that Rabbi Akiva is specifying that the lamp became tome from an ava truma, which again, we said it was a metal lamp, and it itself is an ava truma, why would you need to mention that? It must be that we're talking about tumas daraisa, because otherwise he could have just as well said, we're talking about the regular case, an earthenware lamp, which is a rishon l'truma, daraisa, on a daraisa level, the oil that touches it is going to become a sheni. Fine, but on a daraisa level, let's say we would say it stops there. Liquids can't be metame anything else daraisa. Midrabana, though, that liquid would be a rishon. There's been no reason to specify dafka that we're talking about a higher level tumah on the lamp when the oil itself is going to be a rishon l'tumah. Midrabana, no matter what. So because of that, Ela Shemamin, the Daraisa, he obviously, therefore, Rabbi Akiva must hold that the tumah of that, must hold that liquids are able to be metame other food on a Daraisa level. So now, therefore, he wants to specify for us that even though as a Rishon L'tumah, it's able to be metame other food, whereas a Shlishi, it was not, nevertheless, we're still allowed to make it a Rishon L'tumah by putting it in a lamp, which is an Ava Tumah, and there's no problem with that because you're burning it anyway. But it has to be, we're talking daraisa, because if it was dirabanan, there'd be no, we wouldn't care what degree of tumah the lamp is, no matter what, the oil is going to be a rishon l'tumah, dirabanan. Even if the lamp itself was a rishon, and you put oil in it, it would also become a rishon, that's the point.
So now the Gemara ends with Beravina. It's a contra Rabbi Akiva. It's a double. It's a higher chiddush.
So that's the point. Now we're saying that Rabbi Akiva, right? So Rabbi Akiva's chiddush is that even though we're talking Truma Daraisa, and again, yeah, Amar Aleph, we had a point to Ravina. Rabbi Chanina Sagana Koyanim is talking only Truma Darabanan. Yeah, according to Ravina, it would come out that Rabbi Akiva is giving us a double chiddush. Number one, that you can bring it up two levels of Truma Daraisa, even though it can be matame other food now, and that it's two levels rather than just one. Nevertheless, he's allowing. Then we said in the Mishnah, Amar Rav Meir midivreihem lamadnu v'chula, that based on what they are saying, we can learn from that. So the question is, midivreihem deman, whose words is Rav Meir referring to when he says, from their words, we can derive that you're allowed to burn chametz that's tamei, together with chametz that's tahor on Er Pesach. Who is he basing himself on?
Who's
midivreihem, yeah. Are you saying that he's learning it from what Rav Chanina Sagan HaKohanim said about the meat that was shlishi and meat that's now becoming sheni? Me dummy. How can you compare? Or rather, meat that's rishon, meat that was shlishi and now is becoming sheni. Are you learning from that? Me dummy. How can you compare it? Hasam tome v'tome, hacha tohe v'tome. The fact is that before there you're talking about things that are both tamei, and here you're talking about hacha tohar v'tamei. Here you're talking about truma which is tahar together with truma which is tamei. So how is that comparable? Fine, Rav Chanina Sagan HaKohanim is letting us know once you have meat of kodshim which is tamei, then you're allowed to make it more tamei while you're burning it, but not to take meat that's tahar and burn it together with meat that's tamei.
The reason why you're burning this tahar because it's a suffix?
No, in the case of tahar, in our Mishnah, we're talking about because Erev Pesach and it's chametz. We're not talking about meat of kodshim. But the point is, Rav Chanina is talking about where you're burning meat, which is tameh. You're not burning meat of kodshim, which is tahar, because you're not supposed to. So it has to, if you're burning meat of kodshim, it has to be tameh, or at least possel. But meanwhile, Rav Meir is telling us, based on that, comes Erev Pesach morning, and you have truma of chametz, then you're allowed, and it's tahor, you're allowed to burn it with other truma of chametz, which is tamei. What's the comparison? How can you be metamei it? You actually metamei it before it was tahor, and now you're making it tamei. You're being over on ushmar to mesmishmeres to remaisai. And the Ela Medivei Rav Akiva, are you going to tell me Rav Meir is learning from what Rav Akiva says? Same problem. Me dummy, how do you compare it? Hosam posel v'tamei, hacha tahor v'tamei. Again, Rav Akiva is telling us that you have one thing is posel, the other one is tamei, and you're allowed to burn them together. Rav Meir is talking about one is tahor and one is tamei. What does one have to do with the other? So the answer is neima kasavar Rav Meir. We have to say, therefore, that Rav Meir must hold masnisin ba'ava tuma d'araisa uvlada tuma d'rabbanon. It must be that our Mishnah is talking about Rav Meir holds that our Mishnah is talking about Ava Truma Daraisa, where the lamp, for example, is an Ava Truma Daraisa, or Vlada Truma Drabbanon, but the Vlada Truma over here is only Drabbanon. In other words, forget about the lamp a second. Let's talk about Rav Chanina's case. When he said, Rav Chanina had mentioned Bosser Shenitma Ba'ava Truma and Bosser Shenitma Vlada Truma. Rav Meir is going to say that Rav Chanina is referring to like this. Ava Truma means it became Tomei with an Ava Truma Daraisa. In fact, Rashi actually says that every Ava Truma is Daraisa, although Tosfos points out that there are actually other Tumas Darabanan as well. But Rashi is saying just the fact that he uses the word Ava Truma implies that it's an Ava Truma Daraisa. On the other hand, Vlodis Truma, there are all kinds of Vlodis Truma. There are all kinds of Vlodis Truma that are Darabanan. For example, we just said that liquids drabbanon are always a rishon l'truma. So therefore, if that liquid touches a keli, another point, I'm not sure if I mentioned before, midaraisa, once you get to vladis truma, yeah, I mentioned before, the difference in daraisa between an ava truma and a vlada truma, rishon and down, cannot be metame keli. But drabbanon, we say not only are liquids a rishon, but liquids that are a rishon are able to be metame keli, drabbanon. Now, the reason for that, Rashi says, is because you have certain liquids that are able to be metame kalim on a daraisa level, namely, for example, the saliva of a zov. Therefore, the chachamim found it necessary to make a gzera that any liquids that are tame are able to be metame kalim. So again, when Rav Chanina Sagan HaKohanim talks about meat that became tame with an avatuma versus meat that became tame with a vladatuma, The Ava Tuma means Ava Tuma Daraisa, for example, dead sheret. The Vlada Tuma is not necessarily one Daraisa. It can be one that's Drabanon, for example, this liquid that became a Rishon L'Tuma Drabanon. And therefore, Demi Daraisa Tahar Malya. Now, something that touches a Rishon L'Tuma Drabanon, Midaraisa, it's not Tuma at all. Midaraisa, it's completely Tahar. It's only Drabanon that you have the whole concept of Tuma over here. So therefore, and yet we see that Chanina is allowing you to burn meat that is Tomei on a Daraisa level from an Avatuma, together with other meat of Kodshim, which is Tomei only on the Bonan level. So therefore we say, even though Daraisa it's Tahar, so you see that on a Daraisa level, there's not necessarily a problem burning something which is Tahar Daraisa, together with something that's Tomei Daraisa. So he says the same thing then when it comes to Chametz.
You could take something that's Tahar.
That's something that's Tahar, namely the Chametz, which is Tahar, which you have to burn, and then burn it together with other Chametz, which is Tomei. Yeah, the same way as according to Rav Chanina, you have the meat, again, you have meat that became Tomei from an Avatoma, so it became a Rishon, Daraisa, for example, a touch the Sheretz, and you have meat that became Tomei from a Vladatoma, for example, you have liquids that became Tomei, you have liquids that became Tomei Drabanon, and became a Rishon L'Tuma D'Rabbanon and touched this meat and made it a Sheni L'Tuma and made it a Sheni L'Tuma D'Rabbanon, and you're still allowed to burn them together, even though Daraisa one's Tomei and one's Tahar. So we see that you're allowed to burn together things that are Tomei and things that are Tahar. Umay midivreihem midivreihem chanina sgana koinim. And that means that, so when he says midivreihem, when Rav Meir says midivreihem, he means based on what Rav Chanina sgana koinim said. Based on what he says, we can derive from that that even in a case where one is Tomei Daraisa and the other one is Tomei only Drabbanon, i.e. Tahar Daraisa, you're still allowed to burn them together. Therefore, the same thing should come to the same thing, which should be the case with Chametz, that you should be allowed to burn together Chametz, Truma, which is Tahar, together with Truma, which is Tomei, even though one is Tomei and one is Tahar, the same way as Rav Chanina Sgana Koyanim is allowing you to do that by Kodshim. Okay, so all of that is one way of understanding. That all of that is one way of understanding what Rav Meir is saying. He's saying midivrei.
Hold on, hold that thought a second.
Based on what Rav Chanina Sgana Koyanim is saying, where according to him you have meat which is Tomei Daraisa and other meat which is Tahar Daraisa and Tomei only Drabanon, and Rav Chanina is allowing us to burn them together. The same thing should be true as far as Chametz. Yeah. Now go ahead.
Is he saying Rav Chanina Sgana Koyanim that Tahar Daraisa and Tamei Daraisa can be mixed together?
In effect, that's what he's saying, right? Because if you have Rav Meir, according to the first understanding we have here in the Gemara, Rav Meir is saying the Vlada Tuma of our Mishnah is not necessarily a Vlada Tuma Daraisa. It could just as well be a Vlada Tuma Drabbanon, which means Daraisa is nothing at all. And still, Rav Chanina is telling us that once the meat became Tamei with it, which is therefore only Tamei on Drabbanon level, it's still Tahar Daraisa, and you're allowed to burn it with meat, which is Tahar. The same way, the mayor says, deriving from that, we can say the same thing is true as far as Chametz.
How Rabbi Akiva come to this play now?
So according to that, Rabbi Meir doesn't need Rabbi Akiva's opinion in order to show that. He can already show it, even though Rabbi Chanina Sgana Koyanim is giving us a lesser chiddush than Rabbi Akiva. We said Rabbi Chanina is telling us only Tumah Drabbanon versus Daraisa, or he's telling us only one degree of Tumah as opposed to Rabbi Akiva is telling us two. So, just from Rabbi Chanina Sgana Koyanim alone, you can see that you're able to burn together Tumah Tahara with Tumah Tmeya, says Rabbi Meir. That's one way of understanding it. And then tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, we'll learn another possible way of understanding. We said in the Mishnah that there's another way of understanding Rav Meir, that he's not referring to Rav Chanina and Rav Akiva at all. Because you're right, you have the problem that the Gemara said. They're both talking about things that are Tomei or Pasul. And here you're talking about things that are Tahar and that are versus Tomei. And we don't necessarily want to say that the Vlada Tuma of our Mishnah is Dafka one Drabanon. So therefore, Rish Lakish is going to tell us another way of understanding Rav Meir, that he's not referring to our Mishnah, he's not referring to the earlier part of our Mishnah at all, rather he's referring to a whole different Mishnah in Masechta Trumas, where we have a Machloikas, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Yeshua about a din involving Truma. And in fact, the end of our Mishnah also, we have Rabbi Yossi referring to that, because Rabbi Yossi is saying, Eina hi amidir. Rabbi Yossi says, I disagree with you, Rabbi Meir, how you're trying to learn from them, and he's saying, you should know, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua both agree that you can't burn Tahar with Tomei. Which that's going to be the Mishnah that we're going to mention tomorrow on Daf Tesvav, and we're going to analyze that, and then we're going to understand also why Rabbi Yossi is arguing with Rav Meir.
Who is the halacha like?
The halacha in the end is like the halacha as far as the truma and as far as the kodshim is like Rav Chanina and like Rav Akiva. As far as chametz though, there the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. That Rabbi Yossi is saying you can't derive from those cases or from Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua to our case as far as chametz, and the halacha in the end is like that. You can't burn chametz, which is tahor, together with the chametz that's tamei. You'd have to burn them separately.
Kachim and as far as chulin, what's the halacha?
What, burning kachim and chulin together?
No. Within each category, what's the halacha according to?
Reb Chanina and Reb Akiva are telling us you're allowed to burn kodshim together, even though one is more tamei than the other. You're allowed to burn truma together, even though one is more tamei than the other. But that's as far as within kodshim and within truma themselves, where they're both tamei, or where they're both tamei, or one is tamei and one is posel, but not when it comes to not when one of them is tahor, which is what Reb Meir is talking about. So now, by the way, you know, we can mention, you know, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that Chizkiyahu promoted Torah learning throughout his kingdom, and he put a sword in the Beis Medrash and announced that anybody who doesn't learn Torah is going to be stabbed with it, because it was an emergency situation. They're being threatened by Sanhedrin. They need all the schusim they can from Torah. And it says over there, the Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin that it worked to the extent that even little kids, even little boys and girls, were familiar with all the ins and outs of Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. Now you can begin to see why that was such an impressive accomplishment. We're older people and we're breaking our heads over it. And here you have even little kids in Chizkiyahu's time. We're familiar with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, Shkayach, everyone.
However, we should come back to this stage.
We will. That's the same.
Yeah. Shkayach. 6:30 tomorrow, 6:45.